Amen. Amen. Gosh. I love you, Jeremy. Don't you love Jeremy? Don't you? Come on, man. He's just got a sweet heart for the Lord, and I'm grateful for him and for all of our worship team. Hey, when you came in, you were handed this little piece of paper here. First things first, this is our weekly. There's all kinds of great information announcements on there. For those of you who may be new to our church, though, you may not know this, but on the back, there's a place for notes. And actually, if you look down at the bottom, you can use your phone's a little QR code there. If you scan that, it's going to take you to the Bible app. And there are some notes in there, but there's also some resources on how you can like reflect on what it is we're talking about during this coming week. There's a reading plan and everything in there. And so I just want to make sure that you know that that's there because there's some resources, some extra things in there that you'll probably appreciate. And so make sure that you hit that QR code when you get a chance and you take a look at it. Not too long ago, January 11th was my birthday. I'm not going to discuss which birthday it was, okay? It's not important right now. But on my birthday, my mom was down for that weekend, and so she made me one of my favorite things for my birthday. She made me a red velvet cake, okay? I love red velvet cake, okay? And in a really unholy way, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. I love red velvet cake. And so when she made this red velvet cake, you know, we were hanging out together. I was eating, you know, birthday cake. Before I knew it, really, I had eaten half of the red velvet cake. You may think when I say that I'm exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. I ate half the red velvet cake myself, by myself. And the whole time I was eating it, I was thinking to myself, this is wonderful. You know, this is delicious. I love red velvet cake. This is so good. Right? That's what I was thinking. About 45 minutes after I ate it, though, my opinion had drastically changed about how good that red velvet cake was, right? Can anybody else feel me out? You there's something that you really love, it's delicious, you're looking forward to it, you eat it, and then after you eat it, you're like, I should not have done that, right? That's kind of what happened to me. I felt like I needed to, you know, take a nap. I felt kind of nasty. It was just a terrible experience. And even though I had received this wonderful gift from my mom, it really made me feel disgusting after I ate it. So the thing about red velvet cake, delicious, when we think of what we want, like when we think of what's good, when we think of something that we want to eat, we think of things like red velvet cake. We don't think of broccoli. No one gets up in the morning and says, you know what I need today? Some broccoli. You know what I want? I cannot wait to get me some broccoli for dinner. You know, no one says that, right? You know why? Because broccoli, it doesn't taste quite as good as red velvet cake. They taste different. The difference, though, is that broccoli is actually good for me. When I eat broccoli, I don't feel like someone hit me in the head with a hammer after I ate it. And so it's much better for me. We don't always know what is good for us. We don't always know what is actually good in our lives. Sometimes the things we think are good are actually not good for us. And the things we're not that excited about are actually the best things for us. We're starting a new series today called The Good Life. And so we're going to be, look, everybody wants the good life. Everybody wants that. And we all have this idea of what it would be. And the ancient Greeks actually had an idea about it. They had this word, makarios, that they used to describe the good life. And it was a life of privilege and leisure. So if you were in a position, right, where you had some kind of privilege, where you had some kind of in with people of power, then you were makarios, right? You received the good things of life. The Greek gods, they were makarios because they just hung out in Mount Olympus, and they just ate whatever they want, hung out, you know, and did whatever they wanted to do. That was makarios. That was the good life. And then Jesus, during his time on earth, he gets up to preach one of the most famous sermons ever delivered, and he begins the sermon by pointing out who in this coming kingdom of God will be makarios, who the blessed are. And the people that he refers to are not in any way, shape, or form the people we would expect for him to refer to. And so clearly when we're talking about the good life, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the things of God, right? What's good may not be what we have thought it was. And so we're going to spend the next several weeks digging into the passage of Scripture referred to as the Beatitudes, right? The introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. What is the good life according to Christ? But in order to do that, we first have to back up and we got to talk about the kingdom of God. Because Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he is introducing to the people the kingdom of God. Okay, that's his point, is to describe the kingdom of God, what it is that he has come to do. He's describing it for everyone in the Sermon on the Mount. So when we talk about the good life, we've got to start by talking about the kingdom of God. What did Jesus mean when he said that? What did the people who were listening to Jesus, what did they think whenever they heard him say that? What is the kingdom of God? So I'm going to summarize it briefly, but I'm going to use Jesus' own words to do it. In Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. This is, Jesus has been going around all of Galilee, and he's been teaching, and he's been healing the sick, and a bunch of people are excited about Jesus. And then he goes to his hometown, Nazareth. Here's where we're going to start. Chapter 4, verse 14. Here's what it says. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And then he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. I love this passage of scripture. Like, you want to talk about an awkward church service? This was it, right? Jesus is handed the scroll of Isaiah. He immediately opens it up and he picks a passage of scripture because Jesus would have been very familiar with the law and the prophets. Every Jewish boy went to synagogue. They memorized the entire first five books of the Bible. They were very familiar with all the prophets and with the law. He opens that scroll up. He immediately goes to this passage of scripture that has really clear messianic implications for the people who heard it. This was about the Messiah. And it was written, the prophet Isaiah spoke these things to Jewish people who were living in exile. They were living with the tragedy that their own sin and rebellion had caused. They were separated from their homeland. They were separated from the temple, which was the embodiment of the presence of God. They were separated from everything that they had rooted their lives in. That's who the prophet Isaiah was talking to. Anybody else ever feel like an exile? You ever feel disconnected from God? Distant from Him? Like He's not hearing you? You ever feel like the things that anchored your life, the foundation that you placed your life on, that have all been shaken? You ever feel uprooted and on the run trying to escape something that was done to you in the past? Anybody trying to get out of the trap that your choices have created? Anybody feel alone? Untethered? That's what it feels like to be in exile. That's how Israel felt. But the prophet tells them their healing is coming. God's promises will be fulfilled. God is going to establish His kingdom. And so Jesus stands up and reads that passage and then tells them, all of this has been fulfilled right now in your presence. So there's a few things about the kingdom of God that we need to get from this passage before we begin to discuss what it means to live the good life in the kingdom of God, okay? The first thing is this, the kingdom flows from Jesus. So way out in the middle of the West Texas desert, there's this, some of you may have been there, way out in the middle of the West Texas desert, there's the San Solomon Springs. You guys know what this is? In the middle of one of the most barren places in all of the U.S., San Solomon Springs, are right out there in the middle. It's this beautiful little oasis. You may know it as Balmorhea State Park, right? A massive swimming hole, right? Fed by a spring. And it's beautiful. You're out there in the middle. I've never been. I've just seen pictures. But all around it is just barren kind of desert wasteland. And then all of a sudden in the middle of it there's trees. It's teeming with life. And it's all because there's water out here in the middle of this kind of desert arid landscape. Right? And that's kind of what God has done in Jesus. In Christ, God established his kingdom. And the kingdom flows from Jesus. So everything it touches is made alive. Just like how everything that water touches just springs to life in the desert. Everything that the kingdom of God touches is made alive. And make no mistake, we live in a wasteland. We live in a dark and in a desperate world where everything around us is sick and dying. That's where we live. But the kingdom of God is bubbling up in our midst, in creation, in the world that we live in, established by Jesus. And everything that it reaches out and touches comes to life. And so for those of us this morning who are lost, who are dying, hope and healing flow from Christ. You can come to Christ and you can drink deeply from his love. The good life is life that has been touched by and rooted in Jesus Christ. That's what the good life is. So the kingdom of God flows from Jesus, but the next thing is the kingdom of God is good news. What did Jesus say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news. So this kingdom that he's established is going to be good news. He's going to proclaim good news to everyone. So what is the good news that Jesus is proclaiming, saying he's going to proclaim in this passage? What is the good news? There's two parts of it. The first one is this. God has not abandoned you. The people of Israel needed to hear that. They felt abandoned by God. They were in exile, right? They were living in a foreign land. They were unable to worship in the way that they were accustomed to. They weren't experiencing the power and the voice of God in ways that they'd experienced him in their past. They felt disconnected to him. And the prophet reminds them, no, God's not abandoned you. God is still with you. And Jesus actually embodies that, right? The sin of Israel, the consequence of that sin, had been separation. It had been exile. And you and I, we kind of know what that feels like. There's some of us here this morning who we understand, right? Our choices, our consequences, right? They've created this barrier in our relationship with God. And we feel distant and disconnected from him. That happens to us a lot, right? And the good news this morning is that God has not abandoned us. He hasn't abandoned us to our sin. He hasn't abandoned us to our brokenness. God is with us, even in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through. Israel needed to hear that. But guess what? You need to hear that this morning. I need to hear that this morning. We are not alone. In Psalm 139, the psalmist talks about, where can I go from your presence? Man, if I go up to the heights, you're there. If I go down to the depths, to the bottom of the ocean, you're there. If I try to hide myself in darkness, even darkness isn't dark to you. It's light like the day. Where can I go from your presence? And that's the truth that you and I need to hear this morning. God has not abandoned you. God is with you, and God loves you. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, He says, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. That's what the Apostle Paul said the gospel was doing. And so the gospel is Jesus. Jesus came for you and for me. God has not abandoned you. He sent his only son so that whoever will believe in him would have eternal life. And somebody needs to hear that today. However alone or rejected or abandoned you feel in your life, the power of God is at work on your behalf. He loves you. He's not abandoned you. He's with you. But not only that, God hasn't abandoned you, but guess what? Deliverance has come. I mean, somebody can be with you in the middle of something awful. Like, you know, I could be swimming in the ocean, drowning, and there could be a person who's with me in the ocean as I drown, but that doesn't help me very much, does it? What I need is someone to deliver me. And the good news about the gospel, what Jesus came to proclaim in the coming kingdom, is this. Not only is God with you, but he's come to save you. He's come to deliver you. That whole passage in Isaiah 61 talks about how God will restore Israel and rescue them from oppression, bring them back from exile. God is, listen, God promised them, I'm not going to leave you in the darkness. I'm not going to leave you in despair. I'm coming for you. I'm going to deliver you. And friend, you need to hear that today. Because there's somebody here this morning who you're lost in darkness and despair, and you wonder if there's any way out of it for you. And it doesn't appear as if there is one right now. Listen to me. The kingdom of God is this good news. God is with you, and God will save you. He will rescue you from the darkness, from the brokenness, from the hurt, from the shame. Jesus came to break the chains of oppression off of you. Freedom is possible through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, the good life is not defined by our circumstances. The good life is defined by our proximity to God, because he is our rescue. And rescue is available for you. If you're on the live stream this morning, hear me. Rescue is available for you. For everyone in this room, rescue is available for you. It's what Jesus came to do. Also, the kingdom of God is different. that's like saying Patrick Mahomes is good at football, right? It's ridiculous, like a completely understated thing. But the kingdom of God is different. Jesus, he's using the prophet Isaiah, and using the prophet Isaiah, he declares that he's come to proclaim good news, but not just to proclaim good news, he's come to proclaim good news to a specific audience. Now, the image here that the prophet Isaiah was using, the image is one of a messenger returning from a battle in which the kingdom had been victorious. And so the messenger is running back to deliver the message. Do you know who the messengers would run first to deliver the message of victory in battle? Do you know who they would run to deliver that message first? They would go to the king. The king, the political elites, the rulers of the nation, they were the first ones to hear the good news of victory in battle. That's who the messenger came to deliver the news to. But Jesus, using the prophet Isaiah, turns that whole thing on its head. He said, yes, there's good news. Yes, I've come to proclaim it, but I have come to proclaim it to the poor. They're the ones who will receive this good news first. It turns everything upside down. The news will be brought to the poor. They're the intended recipients. And so what that means for you and I this morning is a few things. Listen, please listen to this. If you feel like you were ill-equipped, insufficient, like you were missing something important in your life that other people seem to have, listen, the kingdom of God is for you. If you feel like you were in chains, bound by addiction, imprisoned by the thoughts that swirl around in your head, trapped in your sin, if that's you this morning, the kingdom of God is for you. If you feel like you're stumbling around in the dark, unable to find your way, completely lost and without hope, hear me. The kingdom of God is for you. If you feel like you were under the thumb of this world, made to suffer because of choices other people have made, victimized and abused by this world, listen, the kingdom of God is for you. It's different. Jesus actually tells a story that illustrates this perfectly. This teacher of the religious law, he was an expert in the religious law, and he wanted to have a philosophical debate with Jesus. He wanted to get into a back and forth with Jesus. Because you know people like that, right? They love to have philosophical discussions. So he wanted to do that to show, you know, how. So he goes to Jesus, and he's like, hey, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That was actually a really controversial question in Jesus' day because there were some people who didn't believe in an afterlife and there were some people who did. And so asking that question would have sparked a religious debate in most circles. And you know how much people love religious debates, almost as much as they love political debates, right? They love them. And so he throws that bomb out there. Let's go, Jesus. Come on, let's mix it up. Come on, Jesus. And Jesus is like, you're an expert in the law. You know the law. Why don't you tell me? He's like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is like, right on. Good job. That's it. Do that, right? And then look what it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 29. The man wanted to justify his actions. So the man was like, wait. We're supposed to have a debate, right? We're supposed to have a conversation, right? I'm supposed to be able to show everyone who's sitting around how smart I am. Hold on one second. So then the man says, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replies with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him for dead by the side of the road. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and he passed him by. A temple assistant walked over, looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. And then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and he took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, yes. Now go and do the same. There's so much good stuff going on in this passage, and we don't have time to get to all of it today, but I want for you to understand what Jesus is doing. This guy wanted to have an intellectual debate with Jesus. So he asked him, who's my neighbor? And Jesus literally lowers the boom on him. Like literally publicly lowers the boom on this guy. He says something so crazy. He says something so controversial that it probably helped to eventually get him killed. That's how big of a deal the way Jesus responded to this was. He basically tells this guy, look, you want to know the truth? The Samaritan in my story is closer to the kingdom of God than you. Now, that was a big thing to say because Samaritans, they didn't even worship God. Or they worshiped him in a messed up way. They weren't real Christians. They said all kinds of terrible things. They did all kinds of wrong things, right? A Samaritan, Samaritans are the worst of the worst. We hated them. A Jewish person listening to that story would have felt so sorry for the Jewish man in the ditch that a Samaritan came down and touched him. They'd have been like, gross! Ew, Samaritans have cooties. So this was a huge deal. But Jesus says, let me be real with you for a second, expert in the religious law. A Samaritan is closer to the kingdom of God than you. But not just that. You better catch your breath. You better back up because I'm about to say something that's going to rock your world. Not just that. The temple assistant is not as close to the kingdom of God as a Samaritan. A priest is not as close to the kingdom of God as a Samaritan. And what he's saying to the crowd that's gathered here is he's saying what he's been saying all along over and over again. He's saying all of your knowledge of the law, all of your diligence in trying to adhere to it is worthless. I came for the ones in the ditch. That's why I'm here. That's what my kingdom is established to do. My kingdom is established to climb into the ditch with the broken and with the hurting and with the abused. That's why I'm here. And so if your religion doesn't lead you to the people in the ditch, then it is not religion that has Almighty God as the object of its worship. Did you hear me? If our religion does not lead us to the lost and the broken and the hurting, it's not religion that worships God. I came for the ones in the ditch. If our practice of religion doesn't lead us to them, we're not participating in the kingdom. We can call it whatever we want, but Christian is not a good descriptor. Christian, Christian, goes to the ditch. Religious practice with Christ at its center will lead us to the beaten, the abused, the broken, the poor. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage and in so many other passages. The good life leads us to the ditch with Jesus. With Jesus. And I think we need to hear that this morning. So listen, there's probably someone here this morning who, you've been coming in and out of the doors of church for a long time. Maybe on the live stream. You know about church. You know about Jesus. But there's never been a time in your life where you've surrendered your heart and your life to Him. You've never turned yourself over to Him. You've never given Him the reins of your life. And the fact of the matter is, the place where you find yourself in your life right now, it's pretty hard. It's pretty dark. And this morning, what you need is to know that God is with you and that God has come to rescue you. And Jesus is our way to salvation. If anyone here this morning, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how badly you have failed in your life, if anyone here this morning would cry out to the Lord God and say, God, I need you. Please rescue me. I give all that I am to you. If you would say those three things to Jesus this morning, let me tell you what will happen. God will cause His name to dwell on you. He will place His Holy Spirit inside of you. He will adopt you into His family. That's what our God promises to do. You can have so much more. You can have so much more than a religious practice this morning. You can have a relationship with the God of the universe. It's open and available to every person in this room right now. And somebody here this morning, you just need to say that prayer to the Lord. You just need to say, God, I need you. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. I'm going to ask Erica to come up here, my friend Erica Bright. I asked her to come to church this morning and be here with us. Erica grew up in this church. If you listened to the podcast this week, Erica was our guest on the podcast. And if you haven't listened to the podcast this week, then let me tell you something. As soon as you leave this place, okay, you need to listen to it, all right? You need to go and listen to it. You can find our podcast, the First Things First podcast. You can find it on the on our website. If you go to resources tab, you can look down there and you see the podcast on there. But there are links to it there. You need to listen to the podcast. So I asked my friend Erica to come here. There's a couple of reasons I've asked her to come. Okay, the first one is this. Come on. Yeah, you. Come on. Okay. The first reason that I've asked Erica to come is because I want to say to you guys that this is what the kingdom of God looks like, okay? And those of you who listen to Erica's story, you know a little bit about it. You know what I'm talking about. Because God rescued Erica, right? Yeah. Rescued her. He was there with her, and He delivered her. And He used many of you in this room to do that. So when I ask her to come here this morning, I want you to see this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what happens when we get into the ditch. The next reason I wanted her to be here is because she runs a ministry. She runs a ministry to foster kids who are aging out of the foster care system. It's called Reclaimed 43. And so she's got a bunch of young women, right? Eight young women. Is that right? Eight young women who need a mentor. They need a woman to meet with them once a month for 6 months and just encourage them and pray for them and listen to their story. And I believe that there are 8 people here this morning who have heard what we've talked about today. They've heard what we've talked about, and there are 8 people here this morning who would say, I'm ready. I'm ready to participate in the kingdom of God and climb into the ditch with Erica and with Jesus. I believe there's 8 of you here. There's lots of other needs that she has in her organization, and she's going to be right in the back at a table back there with some information about Reclaim 43 and with her family. So you get to meet them. You get to meet her precious kids and her awesome husband. But she's going to be back in the back at one of those tables back there as soon as we start to do the response time. When the band comes up here to play, your response today is to figure out, how does God want for me to respond to the kingdom of God? How does God want for me to follow him into the ditch? I think we have another person. Yeah, come on up here, buddy. It's all good. It's your mom up here. Come on. He's like, I'm not sure. Yeah. So I want you to do that. Do you hear me? As soon as the band comes. Also, my friend Stormy, and she will shoot me in the face if I make her come up here on stage, so I'm not going to do that. But my friend Stormy has started a ministry here in our church, and it is for caring for orphans. Because we believe that Scripture tells us that in James that that true spirituality is caring for widows and orphans. And so Stormy is going to be at the back. She's got a couple of projects this week that she needs help with. She needs for people to sign up for. Okay, and there's some people here this morning. It's packing the backpacks. We're gonna give backpacks full of supplies to the emergency shelter in Lubbock. So when a foster child is removed from the home, right, they go to the emergency shelter. They go with nothing. Like, they go with the clothes on their back. That's right. That's what happened with Erica. They go with nothing. And so we can give them some clothes. We can give them some toys, some hygiene stuff. We can give them some things to help their transition into their foster home to be successful. She needs people to help her put that together. When the band comes up here and plays, then there are people in this room. God has moved on your heart. And this morning, you're going to say, I'm ready. I'm ready to climb into the ditch. I want to help. And you can go back. Stormy will be back in the back right next to Erica. You can go back there and you can meet with her and you can put your name and email address down, and she's going to communicate with you on how you can help. Okay? But this morning, we're going to respond to the call of God. We're going to respond to the call of God, and we're going to move toward the broken. We're going to move toward the hurting. We're going to move toward the lost as a church together, because that's what the kingdom of God is. So in these next few moments, if you have to wait a while, that's okay. We'll wait. But don't leave this place without responding to the call of God this morning. As always, if you need someone to pray for you, our prayer team, there's a sign on the door right over there. How can we pray for you? Our prayer team is right there. Someone here this morning, you may be struggling with addiction. You may be struggling with shame or guilt over things that you've done in your past. You may be struggling with hurt and heartache over things that have been done to you. Deliverance, freedom is available this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God Almighty. Don't leave this place carrying that around. Our prayer team wants to pray for you. Okay? But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to stand up. We're going to pray. And then I'm going to ask you to respond to the gospel this morning. I'm going to ask you to respond to the call of God to participate in his kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for all that you've done. And thank you so much for what you've done in the lives of Erica, Lord, and her family. Thank you for what you've done in the lives of the Williams family, their family. Thank you for what you've done in so many lives of people in this church, God. We know that there are broken and hurting and lost people all around us. And we know, God, that you came to proclaim good news to them. And the good part of the good news you came to proclaim to them is us. We get to be part of the good news. Lord, help us to be excited about that. Help us to be fired up about that. Lord, help us to respond to that amazing privilege and responsibility this morning. Jesus, please, help us to do it. We need you. We love you. Give those of us this morning who don't know you've never surrendered their heart and their life to you, give them the courage to surrender themselves to you today. In Jesus' name we pray.